Good Friday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are live all over the DMV on 106.7 The Fan. You can stream us wherever you are, coast to coast on the Odyssey app. You can watch us in high definition, because who wouldn't want to see these faces?
It's a really handsome face.
On the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page, we are out and about. Leesburg, stand up. We are at Spanky Shenanigans Pub. And the Commanders fans are fired up for another week of football. The first place Washington football outfit, just as we all assumed would be the case, Danny.
Just all casual. Just a casual first place team with a very winnable game to go to 5-2. You know, like we always do. 5-2 sounds pretty good. A lot of business to take care of. Carolina's kind of a worse version of you. It's like the Spider-Man meme. If the second Spider-Man's blurry and their quarterback's redheaded. But other than that, this is a very winnable football game. They're one of the biggest favorites of the week, and rightfully so.
Spanky's Shenanigans Pub, Leesburg. We will be here until 6:30. If you are in the area, if you're driving around, come on by. We're going to have some special guests, I believe, swinging through.
Oh.
I've been in touch with, among others, Freddie Smoot's going to stop by, I believe. Some former Commanders players in the house. We were excited to talk to those guys as we get closer and closer to kickoff on a special weekend on this Friday field trip. We're going to be doing this every Friday for the rest of the season. Normally, it's one of those things where the team's not very good, and so we just kind of sit in the studio on Fridays. But we're like, what if we just went out,
what if,
partied with people before Washington kicked people's butts on Sundays? So we're starting this in Leesburg. We're going to have a different location every single week. So if you want us to come out near you, let us know on the Friday field trip with Grant and Danny live out and about. But this weekend, in addition to the Panthers, who are not very good at football, redheaded quarterback, you mentioned that.
I did mention that.
With Andy Dalton. That's just, it's not important.
It's information.
It's just something.
It's information.
It's abnormal, so I like addressing it.
Yep.
It's like Jason Garrett and then him. Everyone always talks about there's very few left-handed quarterbacks. There's also very few straight-up red-headed quarterbacks.
Imagine being left-handed and red-headed. World stops.
Has there ever been a left-handed, red-headed quarterback?
I don't even think in the world there's been. I can't prove that.
Probably somewhere once, I would think, along the way.
Like three dudes.
But it's also Darryl Green's jersey retirement weekend. And I got to say, the Commanders have a lot of really, really cool things planned for this. They're going to do as best a job as they can, this new ownership group. While they know they can't go back to the old name Redskins that so many people wish they would, it's not happening. They're going to try to make sure that the fans of the past still feel like they're not forgotten. And this is going to be a weekend where I think they have their first chance to really put a stamp on that. Because hear me when I say, Josh Harris, Mitch Rails, Mark Hine, I mean, these former fans turned owners, still fans, I suppose, they grew up going to RFK Stadium and watching this team. They miss the old name too, I'm sure. I mean, they miss the history of when it was really good and fun, and I think this is their first chance to show that. So I'm really excited about all the activations and installations they'll have for the Green Celebration. It's homecoming weekend for players as well. I was told they're going to have one of the biggest groups they've ever had in terms of players returning to take part in the festivities.
It just shows you the goodwill. It shows you that it's not just lip service. It's not just the old group, and I know we've talked so much about it, but the old group would basically, and guys caught on to this after a while, when they needed something positive, they couldn't provide it on the field, certainly, and they usually couldn't provide it off the field. It was always something bungling, something where they got in their own way. So they would go, okay, we need something good. Bring out a legend. Let's trot him out there. No one's going to boo that, or no one will be upset about that. Maybe we could sell an extra ticket or two by having, you know, name that superstar from when they were good trot out.
But make sure when you trot out the legend that you tell him last minute, and you can't really fly him in on time. And then you have him pose in front of a porta potty for pictures.
Yeah, so,
you know,
so
it's
guys,
a little bit of a different trot out a legend situation.
People catch on to that sort of stuff, man. They know what it's like to be used. You have to put in enough deposits where you don't feel like you're just taking advantage of them. You don't feel like, you know, you're using them as sort of free labor, right? Or you know, positive attention. It's a shield for all the wrongdoing. And you set about doing that by treating people really well. You give them something nice. Well, one of the first and most awesome videos I've seen from this social media team, from the Commanders, you know, whether it's whoever's in charge of it, whether it's PR people, I don't know. I'd love to give credit to whomever. If I had a couple names, I'd say their names. But that Darryl Green surprise you're getting your jersey inducted video, sorry about the weather system in my eyes, that was incredible.
Yeah.
It was so well done. It's class. You can do things all you do it all the time, it just becomes who you are. It becomes the habit. So this is a great start to kind of put in some of those deposits. All the dignitaries coming back, all the former players coming back, and it's got to feel big. It can't just be, you know, doing a fun thing. And here's Pat Mahomes' brother to TikTok on the uniform number on the sideline. Wrong. It needs to feel special, and it does. Good job.
Week 7 of the NFL kicked off last night, Thursday Night Football. I'm old enough to remember when the New Orleans Saints were in an absolute debacle. I mean, they went 2-0 to start the year. They had the best offense in the they were averaging 45 points a game through 2 weeks. They were 2-0. They had not punted. We know about not punting. Nobody in the league knows more about not punting than your Washington Commanders, where Tressway has basically been relegated to just holding duties.
He's the holder.
But in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, the New Orleans Saints have started doing nothing but punting, and they've lost 5 straight games. It's just a reminder that this league is so wild and that it's almost impossible to predict week to week. And I think, as a Commanders fan, you got to keep note of, like, 2-3 weeks from now, everything could change. But ride the wave, baby. Yep. They're really good on offense. They're tough to defend. They've got a quarterback making all the right decisions who's an incredible athlete and is passing from the pocket, I think, in a way that has to impress even veterans who are watching his film. And we'll see if anybody can adjust and slow them down. But so far, the answer's been no.
Yeah, the answer's a resounding no, right? I mean, even, again, I go back to that Cleveland game where early on, 5 of the first 6 plays were for 0 or negative. And ho-hum just took, when 2 guys were meeting at the quarterback, normally that guy's down, and that's a punt, and that's the end of the possession. Well, that's not normal. Jaden Daniels is back there. So it turns from a sack and a loss of probably 9 or 10 to a 60-yard gain to Terry McLaurin, and now you're in business. They ended up not scoring. I know what happened, but it changed field position and set up sort of the future where the game tilted in their favor and they never looked back. That's incredible. That's the departure. That's what's different. That's what's different than the Howells and the Wentzes and the Smiths and everybody else, the cadre of an assembly line of mediocre at best that has come through for so long. You have the special thing, and man, is it delightful.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and so too might this game be against Carolina. I want to go through some of what the Panthers do well. It'll be a very short list, and what they do poorly. I just haven't felt this confident about a game in a long time, and I'm not afraid to suggest that I fully anticipate Washington winning handily, because it's kind of a win-win, I think, as a fan, right? Either they win the football game, and that's a gigantic victory because they're 5-2, or they win in that we find out something that's important for how we're going to view this thing the rest of the season. Like, if they lose to Carolina, you're still 4-3. Mm-hmm. You're almost certainly still going to be in first place, I would think, by way of tiebreakers, going into week 8. And at least now we know to reassess a little bit. All right, let's not stick the chest out. We don't have to walk around here like Washington's headed to a division championship, right, and going to win the Super Bowl, because there is the potential dud at any moment. This isn't that different than maybe many years past where, yeah, they're good and they can play with anybody. They proved that against Baltimore, but they could also lose to anybody. And I think that, while revealing and not very fun on Sunday, could also be a benefit as a fan as you're trying to calibrate what you want to be for the rest of the season, how you want to feel about this team. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I'm not saying they're letdown-proof or they're dud-proof. It's the National Football League. Anybody can win any given week, yeah, all of those
how many
things.
Underdogs have not only covered but won outright this year.
First month of the season,
it's
I believe the biggest underdog every single week won a game outright.
Again, didn't just cover, made it closer, won the game.
Yes, that happens in this league, no doubt. But this team has not looked like one that plays down.
Correct.
They dominated the Browns at home, dominated them, embarrassed them. They played Arizona at their place. That's not a bad team, but they were playing badly in that game, and they completely destroyed them. I mean, you really got to go back to week 2 against the Giants, I'd say, to find the last time that the Commanders kind of equaled what their opponent was giving them. That's over a month ago. So they're playing up against the good teams. They're handling the bad teams. And if they work Carolina this weekend, I think we stop having this conversation about, yeah, but what are they really, and are they just off to a good start? And we just admit, let's forget about the past for a second, the post-traumatic Snyder frustrations and nerves and anxieties. You got to put them away, hide them in the closet, box them up, and just call this team good, because that's what they've been. They're 5-2. They're beating people handily. They got a really good quarterback in the MVP conversation. Their coaching staff is out-coaching teams every single week. You're just a good team at that point.
Yeah, it's just regular, run-of-the-mill, good team. Nothing fluky. No, okay, we have a bunch of injuries and a guy you've never heard of, and let's try to win seven straight just to get to the postseason to lose in the wild card round. That's not what this is. It's a start-to-finish good team, which they haven't had in 25 years. So, but to that point, there is a threshold. If they were beating, if they'd beaten Cleveland, beaten Arizona, like they'd beaten the Giants, right? If they'd won four straight and they were all coin toss style games where they got the better, you go, I'm enjoying that. That's fun. I'm cool with that, right? I obviously rather win than lose. But the fact that they woodshedded those teams, I mean, they're. From the opening kick, it was only a matter of moments, and then you never felt like they were going to trail. You never felt like the other team was going to be in the game. But just a track meet, and they're running with lead underpants on and someone pushing them while you're running a 100-meter sprint. That's the difference to me, is that you've now graduated to a different threshold. And that's what I think about all the time, is the way the NFL sort of is. There are teams in this big middle bucket where the league is basically designed to have teams be, right, where you're basically 8-8, according to the old the formula of playing games when they were 16. And anybody in that 8-8 group can beat anybody. They can also lose to anybody, right? And you're always infighting and tug of war in there, and someone goes 9-7, we act like it's dramatically different than 7-9. And it wasn't. It was a missed field goal, a fumble recovered, inbounds or out of bounds, a pass interference that gets called or doesn't, et cetera. They are now, have climbed their way, just with this first 6 weeks, to me, to the top of that middle bucket. And I don't know how many teams are in the great bucket either. You know, like, teams gotten off to great starts. Minnesota's been beyond impressive. Kansas City's got the pedigree. But are you blown away? Are you wildly impressed by Kansas City? Not really. That's kind of the conversation we're having here. Is if there was a juggernaut buzzsaw, San Francisco doing what they were supposed to do, maybe Detroit's graduated to that here over the last couple of weeks. But if there was this unstoppable force and you're just kind of going, yeah, we'll just fight for what we can, that's not the landscape of the league right now. That's what's even more exciting to me.
Here's my succinct way of saying what you just did. There's not a team they'd play this weekend that I don't think they'd be playing back and forth with deep into the game. After the way they played Baltimore last weekend on the road.
Yeah, it could look like that, I think, yeah.
The Chiefs? Who else is the Texans, right? I mean, those are the best teams in the league probably in a power rankings, if not the Ravens right now, who they just played. And I didn't think they were at risk of winning that game at any point. It didn't seem to me like the Ravens were worried that they were about to lose really at any given moment. But at the end of the game, despite not having your key running back who's has more touches than anybody else on your team offensively, despite some of the things that went against you, inability to run the ball, defense not getting a stop for most of the second half of the game, when the final second ticked off, you lost by 7. And I think this team's, because of its offense, because of how dynamic and prolific they are, explosive how they are, they make big plays, they get yards in chunks, they don't need to go on 13, 14 play drives like this team has for so many years, which is difficult. They can score on a 4-play, 76-yard drive because Daniels rips off a 31-yard run and then they get a 42-yard pass to De'Ami Brown or Terry McLaurin. We've seen that throughout the duration of the season already. But here's the Panthers. Defensively, there's going to be a lot of real estate. They're going to give you opportunities. There's grass to be had in the passing game in the middle of the field. They are the number 31 defense in a 32-team league against the pass, giving up 7.8 yards a pop so far this year. Overall, defensively, they're 27th. There's only five teams worse. The one thing they do pretty well is their run defense is middle of the pack. They are 15th in yards per play. I heard somebody saying, well, they're bad on run defense. They rank 30th. That's yards per game. No one runs the ball against them necessarily early in the game because they don't have to.
Yeah, you're winning by a lot, so now you're here to have the clock run.
Right, and you salt the game away running the ball and obvious running downs in the second half pretty clearly. But in the first half, who wants to make a play? It's an Oprah Winfrey. You get a catch. You get a first down. You get 37 yards. Here's 19 for you. It has been a disaster for them in their secondary. So, of course, they're not going to give up a lot of running yards. But if you look at the per-play metric, which is actually more telling, they're middle of the pack, 15th against the run. They're 31 against the pass. They're 27th overall. This is not a team that has forced quarterbacks into a whole lot of bad decisions. They are second to last in sacks. If you're a Commanders fan, that's the thing that would excite me. The weeks where I'm dealing with heat-seeking missiles off the edge may be a little more problematic for Jaden Daniels trying to make plays, hold on to the football.
Harder for anybody, sure. Yeah.
This is not one of those games. This team does not get sacks. They don't get to the quarterback. So the O-line in Washington, which has played well, this could be one of those favorable matchups where you keep a tight end in, you chip with Austin Ekeler, Jeremy McNichols, and Daniels has a little time to survey the field.
Yeah, no Brian Burns, no Frankie Louvu, no Derek Brown, who is a...
Where's Frankie Louvu, by the way? Where'd he go?
You know, he's here.
Oh.
Not here today at Spanky Shenanigans for a Friday field trip. No, no, no. But he's here in Washington.
Yeah, he's
in
a good
our
player.
General, in the, inside the listening audience. Yeah.
Good football player.
Yes, he's a good football player.
19th in picking off passes. They haven't jumped a lot of things. They're not... It's just not a defense that scares you a whole lot. And that's why I think Washington offensively will be able to do what he needs to do to win this game. On the other side of the ball, when the Panthers have the football, they can run it. And this week, that's going to be a bit of a problem. Washington has lost John Allen for the remainder of the season, as we know. They're going to be without Javonte Jean-Baptiste, their defensive end, seventh-round pick out of Notre Dame, for about a month, placed on injured reserve. And they also, possibly, we'll see, won't either have Dorrance Armstrong at all or at full strength. And depending on what happens with that situation as we get closer to kickoff and see how he handles, you know, what's going on this week, they could be down three defensive linemen against a really good rushing offense, an offensive line that's blocking well. They're number 9 in the league, 4.7 yards per carry. Chuba Hubbard actually averages over 5 yards a carry the last couple of weeks. He's been averaging over 100 a game. So I think they'll be able to run the ball. And if they can kind of stay on the field and keep Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury from making big plays – by way of design or you know, on the field, just a balling in Daniel's case, then they can keep the game close enough. I just think it's inevitable against this defense that Washington's offense is going to be too much.
Yeah, they're Thanos searching for Infinity Stones. I mean, that's what Washington's offense is. Like, you, if I'm Carolina, I'm going, that game plan, plus I've got to find some turnovers. I've got to find a couple. I don't know where I'm finding them. I don't know how I'm going to find them. Because Washington's done a pretty darn good job of taking care of the football in that regard. So, knock on wood, maybe that's the jinx of all jinxes. But that's what I'm trying to figure out how to do. If I get to 35 minutes of time of possession, just Chuba left, Chuba right, Chuba middle, and Chuba again, and just stay on the football field, maybe that's my path to do it. I hope and pray that we get in a track meet. I would love overs. I'd love them to say, let's try to play offense as good as the real champs. Let's go toe-to-toe with them. Let's stand in the ring and slug. Please do that. Please.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch that.
By the way, you said knock on wood. Whenever I hear knock on wood, because I'm a football guy, I think of John Gruden in Hard Knocks, where he would just tell his team, like whatever it was, he'll be like, we got to not turn the ball over. Knock on wood if you're with me, man. And then all his players would knock on the desk.
But he's got his giant Super Bowl ring.
Yeah,
so he's knocking from like a foot and a half away.
Have you seen any of the John Gruden content on Jaden Daniels?
Bless him. I find John Gruden entertaining. I'm not sure exactly what we're doing.
Well, I think I know what we're doing. He's doing wacky bits, and it's really funny. He does this thing where I don't think it's actual sweat. He, like, wets his shirt or stands in the shower or something, and then he turns on his camera, and he's like, I've been watching Jaden Daniels film, man. I mean, you can do the impression better than I can. But basically his shtick is, like, that when he watches this guy, it's like sitting in a sauna. But it's great content.
Yeah, he's like, I took the hottest shower I've ever taken, man. I'm watching this guy play football, okay? And I can't keep my clothes on. And then he hits some sounder.
Right.
I don't know, it's some rapper, like, I like that. I don't know what the guy's saying. And he's like, yeah, I do. I like it. I like it, man.
Gruden is transitioning well into career two, it seems like.
Yeah, like, knock on wood if you're a caricature of your former self, man. Like, that's... I don't know the bit.
Planking his Super Bowl
right
now.
Can we get back to quarterback score? Sit down with college quarterbacks and go over tape, man.
We'll do that when it's
season. Can I do that again?
When it's in season, I think we'll do that for sure.
Don't you miss that content, man? Where it's more about football than sweating, man?
I want to open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines. 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. You can also tweet us. We're at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny on social. Question for you guys, and I want to dive in with this next, Danny, here from our field trip on this Friday, is when's the last time you were this confident going into a game about the Commanders? Like, just think about the segment we're doing right now where we're going, I don't really see how Carolina can match up. And if you tell me right now that the Commanders lose to the Panthers, I'd be pretty stunned.
I don't believe you.
It has been a long, long time since I felt that way going into a game on a Sunday. You're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan. G&D out and about live Friday field trip. We are in Leesburg at Spanky's Shenanigans, and we are enjoying ourselves. I will tell you, not only should you come out and say hello, if you're in the Leesburg area, you should order the blackened shrimp.
Now, you're going, oh, okay, maybe I'll do that. No, no, you've got that wrong. Stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
Go here, Spanky Shanigan, Simmonsburg, and get that. I could eat. Like, oh, tough guy. I eat a lot. Oh, I'm Joey Chestnut. I'm not. I could eat 100 of those things.
Yeah.
The taste is so good, I'd be so full, I'd be like, I can't stop. And I would just eat them, and then I'd pass out. That's the story. They're delicious.
You should quit your job right now.
Yep.
And come over here and eat those.
Like, what are you? You give me 2 weeks? No, I'm giving you right now. I'm going to Spanky's.
I sat down. Everyone was very, very nice. Mm-hmm. I've been sitting down for a minute. I'm at a bar, so I ordered wings. That's
sure,
what I
sure,
do when
yeah,
I go to
of
wings.
Course.
Like, we're gonna send something over to you, and I said, okay.
Okay.
Look at me. I'm not gonna say no to that. And I was like, send it on over. Let's have a good time.
Up.
And it was shrimp.
It was.
I was very surprised by this. I'm at a really cool bar. Did not have shrimp on the mind. They said, enjoy. I said, I will. I like shrimp. I'll enjoy. I had no idea what
it's
I was
It's one
about
of the best things I've ever eaten in my life.
Yeah, it was really good.
It belongs like right in the heart of New Orleans. It's phenomenal.
Spanky's Shenanigans. We'll be here until 6:30 today on The Fan. The Commanders are getting ready to play the Panthers on Sunday, week 7 in the National Football League. And with a win, first place Washington will be 5-2. We are swimming in waters most of us have not been in very often around these parts. I was talking to a young guy here who's from Dominion High School, home of the Titans.
Yes.
I graduated just a handful of years ago. He's wearing a Commanders hoodie. He doesn't remember being 5-2. He doesn't know what it's like
it's
being
a
good football team.
New experience for him, yeah.
But even me, many years his senior now in my mid-30s, I don't know what that's like either.
Okay.
We're all learning together. But a chance to get to 5-2. The question at hand at 800-636-1067, MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. When's the last time you felt this confident about a D.C. football game going into a weekend?
I have to go back to 2012, where it wasn't even necessarily a specific football game. It was just, okay, we after all the toils, and by the way, there'd be 12 more years of maybe stuff that's even worse since then. But after all those years, after all the problems, after all the difficulties, after all the challenges, we finally have it. We have a quarterback that can do something special. We have the thing where all my friends from around the league are jealous of me.
But they were 3-6
They were 3-6.
They weren't that good.
When they caught fire in the middle of that 7-game streak, you after a couple of those wins, you go, okay, it doesn't matter that my man Richard Crawford is returning punts and is like their nickel/outside corner. It doesn't matter that Jerome Murphy is going to have to cover, you know, Dez Bryant. Nothing matters right now. The momentum is so real that this is all house money and they're just rolling.
I get that, and I remember the electricity in the city and that house money feel, but I don't ever remember legitimate confidence going into a week. Like, I don't remember the 2012 schedule specifically. I can remember certain games, the Ravens game, the Browns game, what have you, but I don't ever remember being so sure going into a game that they were going to play really well and the other team wasn't as good. Like, week 17... Back then, you played 16 regular season games. Mm-hmm. They played the Cowboys for the division championship. And I remember thinking, showing up at the stadium, it was packed. It was nothing like what you see at now Northwest Stadium.
Northwest Stadium.
I'm sure. But it was nothing like what it is now. It was like an actual atmosphere where everyone wanted to be. And we're getting back there, hopefully, this season. We're certainly trending in that direction. But even then, I hoped they would win. You thought they had a pretty good chance. There was no real confidence. Like, if you think about other games during that run, before that they were in Philly. They won that game by 7 points. It was a toss-up. I don't even know if they were favored via sports books. I don't think there was a game during that stretch where, other than just saying they're hot and they're on a winning streak, let's see what happens, where you felt like you do this week that they're going to push the Panthers around.
No, it's different, and this supersedes that, I would say. But, again, during that 7-game winning streak, you just go, we're invincible. We have the us against the world. We have the charmed life. We have all the
those, 2019 Nats pixie dust.
All those cliches that everybody starts to use, where it's like we have our mojo, whatever you want to call it. The answer was yes, right? That was all happening. It was all happening in real time. Where you go, this defies logic. This defies belief. And yet here we are, ripping off win after win after win after win. But yeah, this is different.
Phones we go. Bill is in Lorton on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. What's up, Bill? How are you?
Okay, how you doing, Grant and Funny Danny?
Hey, buddy.
Doing well, brother.
Man, I'm super excited, man, because I thought that we would be able to beat the Bears with Sam Howell and company on that Thursday night. But that's not nowhere near the kind of team that we are now. So we're going to beat the brakes off of Carolina in front of dignitaries and former players on Grant and on Daryl Green's jersey retirement. They can't stand a chance against us. Thank you, boy.
Can't stand a chance.
Can you imagine? I love it.
This is so funny. Thanks for the call. And there's nothing wrong with what he just said. But I need everyone to acknowledge this. Like, stop what you're doing for 1 second and acknowledge this. This is our 10th year doing a show together.
Uh-huh.
Started in middays, now in drive time. Every other time any fan has ever called in before a game and said something like, we're going to beat the brakes off of them, or this is going to be so embarrassing for them, I would either say, you're a crazy person, just point blank, like, that's cute and funny, but you're crazy. Or it's the Will Ferrell line from Old School, I love you, but you're crazy. You're crazy.
You're crazy, man.
Or you would just be like, all right, somebody's sipping the Kool-Aid. And now when you hear that, you're like, yeah, I get that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Practical.
What?
That checks out.
What is happening?
I mean, but I think back also to even get – and I'm not calling you out, although maybe I am in front of these folks here in Leesburg.
You're allowed to. These are our friends in Leesburg at Spanky Shenanigans.
Or it's like they're playing the Giants and it's Tommy DeVito.
Yeah.
It's like Tommy Cutlets. And you're like, there's no way. And I'm like, there's no way.
But it's different. This is not that. Like, I didn't – I wouldn't have bet good money that they win that game. That was a – you shouldn't be able to lose this game. This is a you're going to win this game.
You and I are both – we're I'm smelling what you're stepping in. We're reading out of the same book. The point is we're like, there's no way, right? And then there was. That's different than this. Do you know
wholeheartedly.
What I mean?
Yeah, they weren't good then.
Right.
And they were playing a team. You shouldn't be able to lose to a game with a guy who works out next to you at the St. James at quarterback for the Giants. But when you're not very good, that happens.
That's
you lose
what
some
happens
of those
to
games.
You.
This ain't that.
This ain't that.
Joel is in the district on Grant and Danny. What's up, Joel?
Grant and Danny. I'm Joel is my name. Not Joel.
Joel. My Joel. Apologies. Joel. We didn't use the – what is this little thing at the top of the E?
Is it looking for an umlaut or an accent mark?
Accent, I think. We need an accent.
Yeah, the accent. Yeah,
in the call screening doc.
Yep.
But I just wanted to say, first of all, I want to make a joke because the John Gruden impression sucked. That gave me more Macho Man Randy Savage vibes.
Ooh, Danny's not going to like that.
All right.
Danny doesn't like hearing his impressions.
Yeah, I know he doesn't,
good.
But all he forgot was the ooh, yeah, Macho Randy Savage. But
hold on. Allow me to retort,
sir.
Oh,
no, he's so upset.
No, allow me to retort. There's a distinct difference between the two characters. So, for example, Macho Man, yeah, talking Macho Man. Joel, there's no accent mark, yeah. He called into the show to talk trash, yeah. Like little Macho Man, right?
Right.
Whereas Gruden's got that deep voice. He's excited about something, man. Let me tell you something. Distinctly different. But to the untrained ear, you might not hear it.
Back to you, Joel.
Come on, I'm just being serious.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, anyway, let's get back up to speed. I feel awesome about the Commanders. I mean, I keep hearing from Cowboy fans, is my friend, that we haven't played anybody. Great teams beat the crap out of teams you're supposed
right.
to beat. We haven't done that in a long time. So I'm comfortable with that. I feel great about that moving forward, and I think the Carolina Panthers don't stand a chance.
I appreciate you, dude. You can let your Cowboys fans know they have played some people, and they lost by 40 when they played.
That's what they do.
See them on that email and tell them I said so.
The last time the Cowboys played a team was this past Sunday, just like Washington did. The Commanders lost by 7 and felt like they had a chance most of the day. The Cowboys were playing a team that was throwing touchdowns to different offensive linemen. They were lining up guards at wide receiver. I've never seen a professional team – let's just – not even professional. They're spring leagues. I've never seen an NFL-level team try to rub a team's face more in an embarrassing loss than the Lions did to the Cowboys, to the point where the coach of that team, Dan Campbell, was asked this week, like, hey, did you guys go overboard? Was that a little bit too much?
Dan, what did they do to you?
He's like, I don't care about them, man. They're like, we're doing our thing here. They're asking Ben Johnson. Literally, his press conference was this morning. He got asked by the Detroit media, did you run too many trick plays? Did you kind of show your entire bag? And he's like, that well runs deep. We're fine. We don't mind putting that on film. That's how bad it was. Mm-hmm. It was like a high school football. It's Friday Night Lights. I was talking to Kedrick Golston on the phone today. He's the head coach of the Stonebridge Bulldogs, former Redskins defensive lineman. It was a high school level. Can we do running clock for the second half? This isn't very fun. Like, that's what the Cowboys needed against the Lions. So just remind your friends about that. Mark's in Rockville on Grant and Danny. Mark, the question is, when's the last time you were this confident about a game going into Washington on a weekend?
I hate to fight you, but I'm not confident.
Ooh,
and
okay.
Jonathan Allen is the main reason. And to me, there's a reason you take a Jonathan Allen in the first round. There's a reason you pay him a huge salary. Mm-hmm. And we're 4-1 with him, and we're basically 0-1 without him. And I'm kind of worried with where we go. I think if there's one, despite Jaden Daniels' great start, I think he is the star on this team. And
thanks for
I
the call, buddy. The only thing I'd say respectfully is they're not 0-1 without him because he got hurt late in the game. They were going to lose, and they were down in anyway. So I would take a little issue with that. Obviously, we're not going to assign wins and losses to quarterbacks. We're certainly not going to assign wins and losses to defensive tackles. He's a really good football player. He's going to be hard to replace. He's a local guy. I just mentioned Stonebridge. That's where he played his high school ball out in this area from Ashburn. He has been the heart and soul of this team. But in the way that he provides that invaluable locker room presence, they've now got future Hall of Famer Bobby Wagner. They've got a guy that is revered in the dressing room and Frankie Louvu, who can fill some of those shoes. They've got a lot of veterans that have come in, like Austin Eckler, who preach the details and are consummate pros. So they're better positioned to lose him in that regard. And you just drafted a defensive tackle in Johnny Newton at 36 overall, who's the equivalent of a first-round pick. You've got Daron Payne, who you talked about, drafted in the first round, paying a D tackle. He's made more. He got drafted earlier. So theoretically, you should still have one of those guys up front that can be a game wrecker. It's not to say you're not going to miss John Allen.
Yeah, you're not better without him.
You should be able to get by, certainly this week, I would say.
And I would feel differently if he was having a wrecking ball season. If he was doing what Dexter Lawrence in New York is doing, or some of the other stars on the defensive front, if he was disrupting games to the point that offenses couldn't even do what they wanted. And that's not hasn't been the case. He's been good, adequate, fine, etc. But not exactly what you paid him for. So you're not better without John Allen. A rotational piece at minimum, a good starter at maximum. But I don't think it's the devastating loss that maybe some folks do. Could be wrong, obviously. I mean, it could be that we don't even realize that he was the glue that was holding whatever this was together.
Does anything make you nervous about Commanders Panthers as we close in on kickoff? We could tackle that next. Right at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, we will scout the opponent, get the latest on Carolina from Joe Person, who covers that team in Charlotte. It's a Friday field trip in Leesburg. We are live at Spanky's Shenanigans. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're going to get the lowdown on the Panthers ahead of Sunday's matchup from one of their beat reporters who joins us at the top of the hour. Joe Person covers the team in Charlotte. We'll scout the opponent. We're Grant and Danny welcoming you back on the Fan. It is a Friday field trip in Leesburg at Spanky's Shenanigans, where we are enjoying ourselves. It is gorgeous out here, by the way. I'm a fall guy. That is a given, as a portly fellow likes to wear hoodies.
You're in that Netflix movie with
Yes, also starred in that movie.
Right.
I am actually Ryan Gosling. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you could tell. But I'm a big, big fall guy. And this is the dream.
This is it.
My kids are on their way to a pumpkin patch right now. My wife and I got into it just a little bit because that's my activity to do with the kids. You know what I mean?
Oh, she stole your thunder.
I want to take the kids to the pumpkin patch. Mm-mm-mm. That's what I want to do. Do they have apple cider donuts?
I don't know. Do they?
They do. Yeah. Then I want to be there. But they're doing that without me today. That's fine. This is a good second. Spanky Shenanigans eating shrimp with my guy Danny.
That ain't bad.
Talking about a 4-2 football team.
Just you and me real quick, just having a conversation. Forget about these people that can hear you and maybe judge you a little tiny bit.
Okay.
One sitting. You're hungry.
How hungry?
Hungry. You're ready.
Haven't eaten all day hungry?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you ate just enough in the morning to expand the stomach. This is max capacity.
Okay.
Apple cider donuts.
Ooh.
What's your personal record?
Nobody's watching right now?
No one's watching. What could you do? What could you do? Be honest. Don't lie to the people.
I'm not going to say I could do 5. But if no one was watching, I might say that.
You don't think you could do 6?
I don't think I could do 6.
They're not
6.
That big. They're little shooters.
No, they're not shooters. If it was shooters, I could do 11.
It's like 3 bites.
I'm talking about real life, like bagel in New York sized
donuts. No, that's because they're soft enough where you don't have to, like, it's not the
By the way, the play
bagel.
Is, and I'm not reinventing the wheel here, you got to warm those up. Those got to be – you put them in an air fryer.
Oh, really? It's my first time. Come on, stop it.
You got to put them in an air fryer. You got to heat those up.
Yeah.
All right, let's hit the phones, but we don't have to go to the phones right now because it's Field Trip Friday.
It is.
We went to the people. They came to us. If you build it, they will come. Friday Field Trip in Leesburg. Spanky Shenanigans. So let's talk to the people here. We've got it. So you got to give me your name and where you're from. That's how we do it on the phones. So we'll start with that.
My name's Michael. I'm from Sterling, Virginia.
Michael and Sterling. I love that. And all right, what do you got for us?
All right, well, first I want to say, Danny, I thought John Gruden was here earlier when I was looking away, and I turned around, and I heard good press.
See, that's the way you butter him up. You see that,
that's
ladies
how,
and gentlemen?
That's how you pander. That's 101 right there.
You like this
I'm
guy.
I'm like, that's true. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
You got him right where you want him. You can say anything now. You can do whatever you want.
So we've been talking all year, I think, about basically how good we are compared to where we thought they were going to be. Do you think – the microphone hates me. Do you think that based off of – we go, oh, Jaden Daniels is so good. Okay, Terry McLaurin is so good. They've got, like, the schedule that's super winnable. We could go 10, 11 wins. Like, it's a possibility. Do you think you like the progress you've seen based off of coaching alone, right? How are the coaches doing? Because we have gone from a rough start to a Giants game where a bunch of penalties killed us and we got all field goals, but we had looked good. We kept driving down the field, and then we got better and better every week to where we just contended with the Ravens.
They're unrecognizable right now compared to the first couple of weeks, right? Appreciate the
– thank you, buddy.
I almost said phone call. That's definitely not a phone call.
Appreciate the phone call.
Appreciate the question or thoughts there. I mean, here's – I think to get to his point too, what we have not talked about yet. We keep talking about what has happened and not what could happen. And I keep meaning to bring this up this week, and I'm glad you led me in this direction. How much time have you spent looking at their schedule ahead?
A good amount.
Okay. They play Carolina this weekend. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about it all afternoon. That is an extremely winnable, should-win game. They're heavy favorites. Then they play the Bears. The Bears are a good defense. They've won three in a row. Caleb Williams is looking a lot better than he did earlier in the year.
Yep.
But that is a toss-up type game. And by the way, that game is also at home.
Uh-huh.
Already been flexed from 1-4 to accommodate a national audience because everybody wants to watch the Commanders now. Then they go to the Meadowlands. They may fly, but I think they could take a train, and I bring that up only to say if they fly, it will be the only time they fly until November 10th from dating back to September 29th. Like, the schedule is crazy. They don't have a far road trip. They're not changing time zones.
They already did it.
Carolina, Chicago, the Giants in the division, the Steelers, they train up to Philly. They host Dallas. They host Tennessee. Then they have a bye week. Their next legitimate flight, if they fly to New York, they might just take the train. At New Orleans on December 15th. I mean, I have never seen a schedule like this where they got through, I don't want to say the tough part, but they had the fewest miles to fly in the National Football League this year. No team was going to be on the bird for fewer miles than Washington. So that's already favorable. But you've made your trip to Arizona. You made your trip to Cincinnati. They stayed out on a short week. Didn't even come back. And now most of your trips are, you could get in the car with your buddies and get there in 6 hours.
Yeah, a little day trip on 95, pay a couple tolls, and then you arrive.
And when's the next really good team they play? Stop me when you hear a team where you go, I don't see them being able to hang in that game. Carolina, Chicago, the Giants, the Steelers can't score, might make a quarterback change. The Eagles, the Cowboys, they're a joke. The Titans, the Saints, the Eagles, the Falcons, the Cowboys again, the season's over. Like, they don't play the Chiefs, they don't play the Texans, they don't play the Vikings.
They're no buzzsaws. Now, we listen, it doesn't look that way now, but we could look up with Philadelphia's soft schedule. They've got a pretty good, you know, set of winnable games coming this weekend against the Giants to start it off. They could be 6-3 or 7-2, something like that, after a few more weeks, and we could think of them differently than we do now. But to put your point is, I'm not saying you're drawing conclusions yet, because, you know, if you'd have told me, dude, they play New Orleans, you told me that in week two, I go, oh, crap, what are we going to do against New Orleans? They're going to score a million points. Now I'm like, I would love to play New Orleans here. Can we play him in that field that's right over here over my right shoulder where a kid's getting a workout in? I'm not sure who he's throwing to, but somebody's open. You know what I'm saying? Like, could we play them now? Because they look terrible. And that's kind of the point here, is you don't really know about some of these teams. But, yeah, there are no buzzsaws at this point.
Grant and Danny on the fan. Let's scout the Panthers next with one of their beat reporters. We're going to look at some of the props individually, go over under some player props early next hour as well. You're listening to G&D. It is a Friday field trip in Leesburg on Spanky Shenanigans.